Praise the Lord. How y'all doing?
Good.
David said, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm glad to be here. Thank Thurlow for inviting us to come and to share in this convocation. And you know what? I have richly, in other words, I have deliciously enjoyed myself. Amen. On last evening, praise God, those who presented did a wonderful job. On today, I mean, but Scott and Thurlow did a wonderful job. Amen. You know what? They tell you the truth. They actually dabbled in what I was going to talk about, if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. And I was sitting there thinking, my God, are they going to leave anything? You know, but it's all good. Yeah. Amen. They did it. I don't have to do it. Yeah. Amen. Because you already have it.
Yeah.
But God is a good God.
Yes,
and we are so happy. I've known Thurlow for a long time now. We have fellowship. Amen. For quite a while. Him and Linda and this church.
Yes.
Amen. I thank God for you. And I'm just happy, like I said, just to be here and to be a part. I have the privilege of coming here speaking to the children in the school. Matter of fact, a week from today, I'll be here.
Yeah.
Amen. But we praise God for this family and for what they are doing in this county. Amen. We thank God for them and for their ministry, and we praise God for you. And you are on our prayer list, and we are believing God that you are going to build that building and build it soon.
Amen.
Build it and build it soon in Jesus' name. But I'm just happy to be here, happy to have my son here tonight. Amen. Brother Wilson. Amen. And of course, my lovely wife. I tried to get. This is not my preaching time now, brother. I tried to get her to help me tonight. Amen. But she left me alone. But yet I'm not alone.
Amen.
For Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And you know, this has been a, like I said, a rich time. And I've really enjoyed just being here. Everyone who has ministered the word as we talk about building and strengthening the local New Testament church. Amen. And I praise God for that, because it is time that we strengthen the church. Amen. And that we encourage those who are leading churches to do what is necessary to successfully accomplish the purpose that God has called us to as local churches.
Yes.
Amen. God has called us and given us a unique responsibility. Amen. We are, Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. That's who we are as church, as members of the body of Christ. We are somebody. And you know what? God has equipped us to do what it is that he have assigned for us to do. Amen. And I want to talk to you for a little while this evening. I'm not going to take my normal hour, not unless God says so. But I want to talk to you a little bit about holding on to the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Keep truth alive.
Yes,
amen. Keep truth alive. I mean, let's hold on to it. Let's not allow truth to decay. And I know you said truth decay. That's oxymoron. But don't let it spoil. I mean, let's take the truth that God has entrusted us with.
Amen.
And let's preach that truth. And then let's live that truth. Amen. See, people that rather see a sermon than hear one. Amen. They rather see you live what you're talking about. Amen. And not just talking about it. As he was talking about Jesus, I mean, he was speaking the words he spoke. They said, but then when they arrest Jesus one time, they said, man, they come back without a retina. And they said, we ain't never heard a man preach like this man, or talk like this man, or teach like this man. We never heard that, amen, before. And you know what? This is exactly what we want God to say about us. In our local church, I want people to say about that in our local church and say, you know what? What those people say is what they are. Amen. And what they say is what they do. Amen. And whatever they say, what they say, that's what they are. And what they say, that's what they do. In other words, they live the word of God. They don't just preach it and teach it. But they walk out the word of the Lord. So I want to talk about holding on to the truth. Amen. Buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. Hold on to that truth. Don't let that truth get away. Walk that truth out. Let, you know, Jesus, the Bible said the word was made flesh and dwelled among us. Right. Talking about Jesus. Now, why don't we allow that word to transform us so that we become walking? Paul said, you're living epistle. Why don't we become walking word of God? In other words, what the word teaches, that's how we live.
Amen.
We don't just talk about holiness, but we live holy life. We don't just talk about dedication and devotion and commitment to God, but we are dedicated and we're devoted and we are committed to God, and our life is totally surrendered to Him. And we not only that, but we preach and teach the truth of the Word of God. We live in a time when the Word is watered down. Did y'all hear what I'm saying?
That's right.
We spend much time trying to explain away what the word is really saying. The Bible calls us to come out from among them and be separate. We want to see the manifestation of the power of God. When the last time you seen the manifestation of the power of God? Amen. I'm talking about just the miracles taking place. People coming under conviction, amen, and giving their lives to Christ. And I'm not talking about just praying a prayer that we speak and tell them, repeat after me. And they repeat this prayer after me, after you, and then you say to them, guess what? You're saved now. Said, because the Bible said if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. You know what? That is true. If you believe in your heart, but did you know that your mouth can say a lot of stuff that your heart don't agree with? Amen. We can repeat your prayer or repeat your whatever it is that you tell us to do and never in our heart embrace the God of that prayer.
Yes.
But I'm saying that we have got to grab hope and say, look, we want people to be genuinely, truly born again. You know, I was looking at something that Spurgeon said. And when I read that, I said, oh my God, that so speaks the sentiment of my heart. Amen. When he talked about it, he didn't want to, you know, just say something in us that lead people to assume that they were saved when they wasn't. But truth, I'm talking about preaching the truth to men. Amen. Helping men know that there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that if you would just latch on to the gospel and believe it and trust in the Lord, leaning not on your own understanding, but acknowledging Him in all your ways, God will transform your life. The Bible said in Acts, the second chapter, and the 42nd birth, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We're talking about helping the church today. We must encourage men and women everywhere in the body of Christ, in the church. Man, continue in the apostles' doctrine. It's not pop psychology that's going to transform the lives of men. It's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they said they continue steadfastly in the apostles. You know that church of Acts, it fascinated me just to read about how the power of God worked in that church. Miracles took place. Thousands got saved. They turned the world upside down. It was a radical church. A church that heard what Jesus said and that believed what Jesus said, that called hope to what Jesus said and would not let it go. And you know what? This is what we have got to encourage men and women to do in our churches today. So man, catch hope to the word. Believe the word of God. I was riding with a friend of mine and we was listening to this preacher, and he preached about 25 minutes, I think it was, and then he said, then he gave an altar call. And I looked at my friend, he said, I'm going to give an altar call that you might be saved. And I asked my friend, I said, what did he say that will cause somebody to want to be saved? I mean, what did he say? It's the power of the gospel. Amen. That brings that type of conviction in a man's heart. When you preach the cross of Christ, that Jesus paid the price for our sin, and that the old account is settled. Yes. And all we got to do is embrace that.
Right.
Say, man, I believe that Jesus died, that my sins might be washed away. I receive Christ into my life. Amen. It's not just all the pleasant things that God want to bring into your life. Amen. It's got to bring about that type of transformation.
Amen.
But it's when you come to realize that I was a wretch and I was undone. Without God or his son. But Jesus gave his life on the cross that I might have life and have it more abundant. That's the truth that we got to preach. And let men know that without Christ, you are lost. It doesn't matter if you can go to church, be in church. The question is, are you born again?
Amen.
Are you born again? Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ? Amen. Have you put down? Have you taken off? Have you laid aside those things in your life that were so much a part of your life before you met Christ? I heard someone say the other day, if you don't put down something, you don't pick up anything. So if you won't pick up, don't just try to put Christ onto what you have. Now that's the truth that we got to preach to the world. It's to let them know, man, you got to take off some stuff. You got to lay aside some things. The Bible said, come out from among them and be you separate. You got to take off some stuff in order that Christ might embrace, you might embrace Christ and he become the Lord over your life. So the Bible said they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. We got to encourage people to get into the word.
Yes.
And don't just read the word as a good book. Read the word and ask God to allow that word to work a change in your life.
Amen.
It's not how much of the Bible you know. That's all that's important. What's important is that you submit to what you know, that it transforms your life.
Yes.
You know, well, I know some people that can talk more Bible you can shake a stick at, man. But you know what? They don't live one chapter of all that Bible.
Amen.
They are allowing the word to fall in the street instead of allowing that word to transform their life. When I'm talking about hold on to the truth, I'm talking about until the truth brings about change in your life. until it causes you to fall in love with Jesus more than you love anything or anybody else.
Yes.
Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "Love is not me more than these." Do you love me more than these? I don't know what the "these" was he was talking about. Some they were talking about the boats and called them fishermen. Some talking about the other. I don't know what he was talking about. But whatever he was talking about, he was saying, "You got to love me more than you love anything else." And when we talking about, when I talk about holding on to truth, I'm talking about that's truth that we got to hold on to. Letting us know that we have got to be born of the Spirit of the living God. The Bible said again in 1 Timothy 4:16, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." See, the apostle, the doctrine, the teaching in the Word of God, we got to take heed to it.
That's right.
Amen. It's not that we got to submit to it. We can't just hear this stuff. We come here like we have been here this week. We had a good time. We've enjoyed the Word. We've heard a lot of Word. You know what? We got to go back and allow that Word to soak down into us and begin to transform our lives.
Yes, Lord.
It doesn't matter how close you were to God the day when this started last night. Amen. After being here, we ought to go back a little closer, a little bit more sanctified, a little bit more committed and dedicated, and determined that we are going to do that which brings glory and honor to God. Because we are the light of the world. The world, and they're going to see Jesus. You remember the story where it said the Grecians came to the feast and they said, "We would see Jesus."
Yeah.
You know what? Men want to see Jesus.
Amen.
They don't want to see me and they don't want to see you. Man, they want to see Jesus. They want to see the life of Christ manifested through and in our lives each and every day. And it's not just on Sunday morning. We love praise and worship. Brother did a wonderful job talking about praise and worshiping this morning. You know what? But this thing has got to be a praise in our lives, all of our lives.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
All the day long. Doesn't matter where we are, what we're doing, we got to be offering up praise to God by the way we conduct our lives.
Yes.
If you are not saying a word, your response to life situation ought to give praise to God. Ought to let someone know that your life has been touched by the power of God.
Amen.
But you are not just doing that out of your own, but that's Christ in you.
Amen.
Amen. Christ in you being revealed through you. Because you have said yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, have your way, do your will in my life,
yes,
that men might see.
Yes.
So that I can be, you know, you want to be like you read, I read somewhere in the Bible where it said they broke people out in the shadow of the apostle. I mean, they walked by the shadow, hit people, then brought about healing. I mean, and that's because people, that was a group of men that grabbed hold to the truth. After the day of Pentecost, then you take Peter. Peter thought the cursing and swaying, talking about he didn't know Jesus.
Right.
But I tell you what, after he got the power of the Holy Ghost in him, amen, he stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached a message, dramatic, dynamite message, and many souls came to faith in Christ. I'm going to tell you, being born of the Spirit of God, having God lives in us, makes a difference in our lives.
Amen.
And that's truth that we got to get to people. So, man, you got to be born again. You got to be born again. So, man, I've been baptized, so what? You heard old people say you go down a dry devil and come up a wet one. Amen. But you got to be born again, man. You got to be born again. Something that's got to happen on the inside of you. And something, you know, I was talking to somebody. I said, you know, you pastor a church with 500 people. 500 people. And you have 25 of them in there that say, amen. You know, you only get reward for God for that 25.
Yes.
The motherfucker lost.
Come on.
I said, what we want is we want people to get saved.
Amen.
Amen. So we got to preach the truth to them.
Right.
Amen. Let them know that the wages of sin is death, and that you got to be born again, man. You got to trust Christ to change your life. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about transformation, where Christ comes into the inside of you and reborns you. Change your mindset, your attitude, and become priorities, the priority of your life.
Thank you, Father.
The Bible said, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So continue in them. Take heed and then continue in the truth. Continue in it. Obey it. Walk in the truth. Amen. Be a living example of what truth is all about. Let truth rule your life. Rule and reign in your life. Said, see, God, we got to make sure that we don't teach no other doctrine than the apostles' doctrine.
Right.
We don't teach no other doctrine than what's in this book. We got to teach this book. You know, I've been thinking about something. Now, I'm not saying you ought not study other books or read other books and all that. No, don't get me wrong. I got a computer with $3,500 worth of material, so I'm not talking about that. But you know what? I mess around here and then fell in love with this more than I love them 3,500 other books. Because I realize those other books are men, basically a lot of men opinion about what this book has to say. Hey man, let me tell you something. You know what we need to begin to do also, along with studying other stuff, is we need to get on our face before God and say, oh God, open up this to me. Open this book to me. Open it up. Reveal the truth, what it is that you are talking about in this book. Amen. And trust the Holy Spirit to teach us how to teach others how to walk in obedience to the word of God.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
You know what? Peter did not have a Matthew Henry come and turn. He didn't have that software word search either. He didn't have any of that stuff that we got on our prayer. You know what he had? He had an open window to heaven. Amen. You know what you have? An open window to heaven. If you have not because you ask not, but if we would ask, God would reveal and make known to us what is necessary for us to accomplish and fulfill his duty.
Yes, he will. Please, every time.
Come on. Throw your computer away.
Hold on to your computer. Because you're going to try to teach. Well, yeah, hold on to your computer. Hey, amen. I'm not saying that. I told you, there's nothing wrong with doing a little study. But you know what? Here lately, honestly, I've been seriously thinking about that. That man, you know what? We need to get down on our face before God. Yes. Amen. Let me ask you something. Do you think God know what this book is all about?
Yes.
Why don't you ask him? Why you got to watch Logos, whatever that's all that software we got? Why you ask them?
Yeah.
Why don't you just ask God? I'm not too radical, am I, Apostle? No, honestly, man, we got to come down and keep this stuff real, man. Hey, man, we have more confessing Christians in our country probably now than we ever had before, and morally, we are worse off than we ever been.
Right.
What's wrong? Why is that? Why is there no change? The Bible said in the book of Acts, I think it is, said they turned the world upside down. No, they turned it right side up.
Right.
Oh God. Hallelujah.
If we would humble ourselves, if we would grab hope to the truth of the word of God, if we would make it our business to ask God and to study his word and to pray and to trust God to guide us through the process of preparing ourselves to minister with power, amen, to those that he brings into our presence, amen, and allow the anointing of God to flow from us as we speak, that we are not just spitting out words, but we are speaking with the anointing of God upon us that will touch hearts, prick hearts, and have men cry, what can I do to be saved? How can I correct my lifestyle? How can I be more faithful to God? How can I get my priorities in order?
Right.
Thank you. Yes. The Bible said in Samuel, 1 Samuel 3rd chapter, it talks about in the lamp of the Lord went out. The lamp of the Lord went out. Why? Because who's supposed to be tending them lamps was not doing it. The light, the truth, the word of God is a light and a lamp, the Bible said, unto our feet and to our path. And that's when we got to catch hold to that word and do not let it go. Because you don't want the light to go out. You want the truth of God being preached and being taught. And I believe that you're living, what is it, living grace? And living grace, I saw it's a living word, but it's living grace. And Apostle Thurlow, he amazed me. I mean, I look up the other day and he pulled out all these books. I said, my God, you wrote all this up? This man is serious about what he's doing, and he's serious about getting the truth of God to as many people as he can. Amen. That he will pay the price. He'll make the sacrifice. He'll write it out. Amen. That takes some study, man. I don't care if you read the Logos, whoever it is. Amen. You put all of that together, it takes some study. And you know that ought to be repeated as many times as there are people in here.
Right.
We ought to make sure that we're going to saturate this county, or the county you live in, with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Write as much as you can write and give it to somebody. Yes. Preach as much as you can. Share it with somebody. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Because what's going to change our day, that'll change the people of this day, is going to be the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of God with the anointing of of God's spirit upon that word.
Wow.
The Bible said that an era the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laying down to sleep. Well, Samuel was old. And I know the older you get, you kind of like to lay down and take a nap. But he had some young sons that ought to have been up tending them lamps. Let those lamps not go out. Amen. And that's the way it is. We don't need to let the word of God go down.
Right.
Amen. We need to have people who are constantly trimming the lamps. Amen. Constantly preaching and teaching and witnessing and sharing the word of God. And you don't have to be in a pulpit or be behind a podium to preach the gospel. Amen. Wherever you are.
Right.
And the door of opportunity cracks open. Not swing over, just crack open. Amen. You ought to put a word in there.
Right.
Amen.
Come on.
But Jude said in Jude the 3rd verse, he said, behold, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. He said, man, right, but I really, I got to tell you to contend for the faith. Make sure you fight for the faith. Make sure you contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's a truth that we got to hold up. So, man, let's contend. God haven't lowered his standard. Just because wickedness is all around. God have not lowered. With it, God have not lowered his standard. His standard is still the same. You know, we got to let people know, man, there's a heaven to earn.
Yeah.
And there's a hell to shun. Amen. You got to let people know, man, there's a heaven out there that God wants you to be a part of. And there's a hell out there that you don't want to be a part of. And we got to, that's a part of the truth that we got to make known. Amen. Truth, amen, embodies all that is taught in the Word of God. This Bible is a book of truth. And we have got to take hold to it and not let it go. See, one of the things that distinguishes the characteristic of the early church was their commitment to the apostles' doctrine. I mean, they were just committed to the apostles' doctrine. I mean, whatever the apostles taught them, man, those people went out and did it. They went out and put it into practice. They believe and they aggressively spread that word everywhere they went. They preached it. They talked about it. They shared it every place they went. They were steadfast, unwaveringly, and they were tireless and firm in preaching the truth and delivering the word of God wherever they went. And you know, we are living in a time that's what we need to encourage people to do. As we talk about church, the local church today, we got to say to them, you know, we do a lot of stuff. I think somebody talked about this morning, to try to grow our churches. We want to be what? I think it's called user friendly. So we try to find out what people lack. And then we want to give them what they lack. Because, Brother Baker, we don't give them what they lack. Then it's like, what you call them things? Them restaurant you got all that. What? Yeah, that's what we got. Churches just like that. You know, if you can't get what you need, you go over that church over there and get it. I was over to, where did they play? Golden Corral the other day. I mean, you ever been to Golden Corral?
Yeah.
Hey, man, they got everything just about you want to eat in that joint. Amen. And that's the way we got churches all around, just like that. If you preaching holiness, amen, and they don't want to be holy, they can go over to church where they don't have to be. I pastored a church that fired me because they said they didn't want to be holy. I said, no, I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about a lifestyle, a way of life and living. I mean, we serve a holy God. Amen. You read every Sunday out of a holy Bible. Amen. Why you don't want to be holy?
That's right.
Oh, God.
But they sure enough, I went home for Mother's Day. I got back that money. I got a registered letter. Them folks done fired me. But you got to preach the word in season and out of season. But you know, we come to places where we want to be user friendly. And my advice and my counsel to pastors is don't try to be user friendly. Try to be Jesus friendly. Amen. You want to be a friend of Jesus. Amen. Preach the gospel. Share the word. Stand on truth. Stand on truth. It's better to stand alone on truth than to stand on a lie with a house full of friends.
That's right.
Or whatever you are, or people. They don't have to be friends. But stand on truth if you have to stand alone. Preach the truth if you have to stand alone. Teach the truth if you have to stand alone. Counsel people. Tell them the truth if you have to stand alone. People that think you're dogmatic. They'll think you're single-minded. They'll think this and they'll think that. They'll think you have a one-track mind. Somebody, at least my track's leading to Jesus. Where your track lead? If it is a one-track, it's leading to Christ. Jesus said, I am not one of the ways. He said, I am the way. Jesus said, there is only one way, and I'm it. And let me tell you that this book is it. How we ought to live, how we ought to conduct our lives, you can find it in this book. You know what? You don't even need another book to know how to follow Christ.
Right.
Amen. All that we need to get us from earth to heaven is in this book.
Amen.
And the word.
Amen.
And all we got to do is read it and obey it. Read it and obey it. And it will get us from earth to heaven.
That's right.
Did y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Well, I guess y'all about ready for me to sit down there.
No, sir.
See, the Apostle Paul warned the people against truth decay. He warned them. He said, look, man, in Acts the 20th chapter, he said, therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Ghost have made you overseer. You live, Pastor God, the Holy Ghost have made you overseer over these people. And you have an obligation, responsibility to guide people in the paths of righteousness and to teach them the truth of the word of God. That's our responsibility. We are the overseer. You know, one of my greatest fears. Well, you know, I'm not the senior pastor now, the lead pastor, whatever you want to call him. Amen. You know, but I always say, I used to think about, wake up at night and think about that. Suppose I'm not telling these people all the truth. Suppose I'm not leading these people and dealing with them the way I ought to. You know what I mean? I used to think about that. I don't know if Thurlow thinks about that. I guess he's so thorough. He got his stuff so down. He don't have to worry about that. Maybe Dan, you know. he got it all down there. But I did. I said, wait a minute now, man. I heard a guy talking about something that the guy had a dream, and the man was running around in hell, picking up people and throwing them back down. Picking up people and throwing them back down. And somebody said, man, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? He said, I'm looking for that preacher that lied to me. You know what? You don't want to be a preacher that lied to folks. You want to tell people the truth. Amen. Whether they stick with you or leave you, you don't want to be a preacher that's lying to folks. And they find out after they leave this life, amen, that you told them that they were saved when they was not connected to Christ.
God, oh God, Jesus.
Did y'all hear what I'm saying? Amen. We want to come in and get this thing right, man. Let's get this thing. Grab truth. Tell people the truth. Preach the truth. Live the truth. Amen. And whatever you do, tell folks the truth. Don't lie to folks.
Amen.
How would you like to walk into a doctor's office? I went to Dr. Dave, and he went, oh yeah, man, you're okay. Very good. Very good. Walk out 2 days later, you blind. You know, I don't want a man lying to me like that.
Amen.
If I'm going blind, let me know so I can get me a white stick. Amen. I don't ever want to be surprised. I mean, tell folks the truth. Amen. Tell them you're doing good work. It's a wonderful thing you're doing, but you have never believed and trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You are lost.
Amen.
Salvation is not earned by works. It's earned by faith in Jesus Christ. And because we put our faith in Him and trust in Him and accepted Him, we produce works. But works does not save us. The byproduct of having been born of the divine nature of God. Now that's a part of truth. I'm talking about holy truth. That's the truth I'm talking about. We got to get out there. We got to let people know, man, that you got to be saved. We need, how many of y'all know that we need a good old Holy Ghost revival?
Oh, yes.
Amen. I'm not talking about just another service.
Amen.
I'm talking about a revival.
Revival.
I'm talking about where people are weeping before God. Yes. Where people are confessing their sins to God. I'm talking about the type of revival that will call places that are not glorifying God to begin to close down because of the power of God and the life, the change of lifestyle of people, that they lose their customers.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a real Holy Ghost. When last time y'all been to a real Holy Ghost revival? When last time you heard of one? When last time you attended a revival? And when I'm talking about revival, I'm talking about a time when men humble themselves and seek God for spiritual renewal, for God to open their eyes of their understanding, reveal to them more and more and more what His will and purpose is, and how they can better do the job that He's entrusted to them. The Bible said they continue steadfast in the apostle doctrine, in fellowship, and the last word said in prayer. Yes, preach the truth to be let them know we got to pray. The Bible said if we would humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, then God would hear from heaven, and God would do what? Heal our land. Do our land need healing today? Amen. Our land need a little healing today. Amen. And the Bible said if we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our way, then God will heal our land. When I talk about hold, grab the truth, hold on to the truth, that's truth that we got to hold on to. We got to believe that. That man, we got to pray. We got to confess our faults and our sin. And we have got to lift our voices to God. God is able.
Yes.
And not only is God able, but God wants to do it. God will do it if we just humble ourselves and if we would just pray. Look, Paul said, we are not as many which corrupts the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 2:17. So man, we not just peddling the word of God. We are not just deceitfully using God's word. But man, in God, we speak for Christ. Amen. We speak for Christ. We declare the word of God that men might come to faith and confidence in Jesus as their Savior. The Bible let us know without a shadow of a doubt. And I believe that we are there to some degree now. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I think we're living that time. But men ain't worrying about just hearing the truth.
Right.
They ain't worried about if you just speak the truth to you. I was talking to somebody one day and I said, you know what? We need to just take this Bible, man, and start in the book of Genesis and just verse by verse by verse, just preach right through that Bible. Oh, man, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear something. Tell us, man. Just tell us. Just interpret the Bible. I mean, just tell us. Wait a minute. What's more powerful than the raw word?
Right.
Amen.
Y'all didn't hear what I said. What's more powerful than just the raw word? Yeah. Amen. The Bible said that they took the book and they read the book from sun up to sundown, and people just wept.
Right.
Amen. We need somebody to just read the word, teach the word, preach the word to it, so that word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It can cut and divide and separate us from our own ideologies and help us to understand that God is wanting to do something in and with our lives.
Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
That's the type of truth I'm talking about. We got to preach, man. Let's preach the Bible.
Right.
Preach the Bible. Just preach the Bible, man. Just preach the Bible. It don't have to be some catchy talent, subject. Mm-hmm. Amen. Just preach the Bible.
Right.
Oh, we come up with all these smooth sayings, man. They're cool, man. And people are like, oh, man, that turned folks on. You don't want to turn people on. You want them to turn on to Jesus.
Right.
I'm getting ready to let y'all go. My time about up. You're so nice. Listen. Amen. Some having itching ears will look for teachers who say what they want to hear, things that will suit their likeness.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, listen, in Jeremiah, the 5th chapter, 31st verse in the New Living Translation, say a terrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets give false prophecy, and the priests rule with an iron hand. And worse yet, my people lack it that way. Now that's what God said. Worse yet, my people lack it that way. Amen. They give false prophet. The priests rule with iron hand. And guess what? My people lack it like that. Now that kind of sound familiar to some degree as it relates to what's going on in our society today. But what shall we do when the end comes? The Bible says. But what you going to do when the end comes?
Right.
What are you going to do when the end comes? If somebody have lied to you and you have embraced that and have not embraced the truth, what are you going to do when the end comes? So justice have turned back and righteousness stands afar off. For truth have stumbled in the public square and the uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking. And he, listen, who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it and it displeased him. So people that depart from evil make themselves a prey.
Amen.
You know what, I'm going to tell you. I don't know too many. God spoke to me many times. But I remember the first time I ever remember, God just spoke to me. I was out at CNP Telephone Company out on 29, just up from... before they built that new one, Verizon took over and they built that new building across the street. I was working there. And I don't know, praying the thing. That back when we used to have these fasting and praying and all that stuff at the church, man, it was just normal routine. We just fast and pray, man, believe God. And I was out there just enjoying the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know what? Now listen. He said, if you live like I want you to live, you're going to look strange to the church. Not to the world. To the church. If you live like I want you to live. If you live a holy, sanctified, committed, dedicated, devoted, loving God with all your heart, body, soul, and mind, and come out from among them and being separate unto the Lord and doing only that thus that brings glory and honor to God, you're going to look strange to church. And what is that? How y'all doing?
Wonderful.
I'm enjoying myself.
We want more. Yes.
No, I'm telling you, man, you to live. Just live like God wants you to live. You say, well, I am, but don't people think you're strange? I mean, just live it. Just live it. Just live a holy life. Just live an honest life. Just live a faithful life. Just live a loving life. Amen. Just live a life like Jesus lived. Did they think Jesus was strange?
No.
I'm talking about the religious folk. Amen. Sure they thought he was strange. And you know what? They'll think you're strange. They'll say, man, what? When you think you're so holy? You think, you know, they'll start saying all that stuff. Yeah, man, I don't think I'm holy. I know I'm holy. Because the Bible said I was holy.
Amen. Glory.
See, you are holy. Ain't it right, bro? Amen. You're set apart, right? You're set apart from sin, set apart unto God. You're holy. You've been chosen by God. Amen. We are chosen by God. We are handpicked by God. And you has he chosen. God chose us. In Christ.
Amen.
He chose us in Christ, didn't he? He chose us in Christ, didn't he? Amen. God chose us in Christ. Amen. We are chosen out of the world by Christ, man. Can you just think about me? God chose me. You, God chose you. As wretch and undone as you may have been, God looks at you, saw you polluted in your own blood, and God say, live.
Amen.
God chose you. And he called you out. Amen. Not for you to turn around and go back in to the cesspool in which he delivered you from. But he called us out for us to be other, for us to be different, for us to be distinct.
Yes.
We're not to be like everybody else.
Amen.
Y'all believe that?
Amen.
We're not to be like everybody else, man. We're different, man. We are ambassadors of heaven.
Amen.
Amen. A glorious high throne is the place of our sanctuary. Amen. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
But you are a chosen generation, a warrior priesthood. Amen. That's who we are. Amen. And we did not declare that upon ourselves.
Amen.
That's truth that you got to hold on to. Say, man, I'm a warrior priesthood. I'm a chosen generation. God has predestined me to be conformed to the image of his son. And what God has predestined, God's well able to perform it. I shall become as he declared me to be.
Thank you, Lord.
And because of that, why would I want to drink from the mud puddles of this earth when I can drink from the crystal lakes of heaven? See, we got to realize that, man, this is not our home. I'm getting ready to let y'all go. How many times I said that? I'm getting ready to let you go for real this time. But let me. Yeah. Thank you, bro. Amen. But I'm telling you, we have got to come to that place where we realize that we are who God say that we are. Let me read that quote said a few minutes ago by Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, "And oh beloved, there is one thing that I dread above all other, lest I should ever handle the word of God so as to persuade some of you that you are saved when you are not." So, man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to persuade anyone that you're saved, that you're not. I was telling somebody, I said, look, don't tell people they saved. Let them tell you.
Right.
If they saved, let them tell you. If you was in the ditch and you got out, wouldn't you know it? Amen. If you saved, you ought to know it. Amen. Then you tell me, man, I received Christ. I'm saved. Jesus changed my life. I seen preachers stand up and try to convince folk that they were saved when the people had no idea of what he was even talking about.
That's right.
Man, you know what? You seen all that? Yes, man. You know, I've been saved 49 years. Let me tell you something. I've seen a lot of stuff.
Me too.
And I see them saying that, and I'm sitting there thinking, why are you trying to convince this dude he's saved? He don't even know what save is.
Right.
Leave him alone. If God saved him, he'll testify. He'll testify. When God sets you free, you will tell somebody. Amen. I've been changed. Said, why you don't go out no more? Well, man, God came into my life. He made a difference in my life. The old man you used to know, he's gone. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. So Spurgeon said, I don't want to do that. And I am like Spurgeon. I don't want to do that.
Amen.
I want to let you know that it's available. I want you to know that Jesus wants to save you. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that the price has been paid for your salvation. I want you to understand and know that all you got to do is just ask, and he will abundantly pardon you. But I'm not going to tell you he already did it, and you're looking at me like a deer staring in the headlight because you don't know what in the world I'm talking about.
Come on.
So how are we going to help these churches? We're going to tell them, you got to start telling people the truth. You want to be saved? Tell them the truth. You want to get a crowd, a big crowd, you can tell them anything. But if you want to see them saved, tell them the truth.
Yes.
Preach the truth to them. And you know what? God can give masses, amen, bring masses together who have embraced the truth.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be afraid that truth can't say and cause people to come. And don't compromise.
Amen.
Don't lower the standard.
Amen.
Don't lower the standard. Say, man, we used to believe that, but now we don't believe that because times have changed. Sin is sin, man.
Come on.
And I said, no, man, don't lower the standard.
Right.
They said the truth has fallen in the street. You don't have to let truth that's fallen in the street because you don't want to stand. Don't be intimidated.
Right.
But be encouraged to speak the truth. The Bible said a terrible and shocking thing has happened. And it talks about what it was. But God said, worse than that, my people like it. My prayer tonight is that not one person sitting in this room would be embrace like anything that dishonors God and that lowers the standard of God's word.
Amen.
The truth. So you shall know what?
The truth.
Truth. And the truth will do what?
Set you free.
And the truth will set you free, make you free, and help you to stay free.
Amen.
And my prayer tonight, as I take my seat, is that everybody's in this room tonight, that we'll leave this conference, a convocation, on tomorrow, excited about the truth of God's word that we have heard this weekend. And that we are not going to forget it as soon as we get off that street out there. But we're going to go home. And we're going to ask God to help us to implement what we have heard.
Yes.
Because we want to become a doer of the word. The hearer is not the one that's justified, the Bible said, but the doer. We want to be a doer of the word of God. So that the fruit, we can have fruit in our ministry for my having been here. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Began to see fruit coming forth. Lives change. First of all, the first life we're going to see change is that one we shave. At least I don't shave. But the one you shave. Amen. That's the first life that we're going to see change. And not only this, it's not going to stop there. But other people are going to see us. And they're going to pursue Christ because of our testimony. May God bless you.
Yes, sir.
May heaven smile upon you. Take hold to the truth and don't let it go. Buy the truth and sell it not. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. Compromise may be all around you, but stand on the truth of God. It's better to stand on truth with one or two than to stand on a lie with a multitude.
Amen.
So stand on truth.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.